WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3, Urbana.
This is Keeping the Faith, a weekly discussion about issues of faith, spirituality, religion, and ethics. Now here's your host, Steve Shoemaker.
We're talking today on Keeping the Faith with three guests from the Urbana High School. English teacher Ellen Dahlke has been there 3 years. And Ellen, did you help start the Social Justice Committee there?
No, I didn't. The Social Justice Committee has been at Urbana for 4 years. It was started by our principal, Laura Taylor, as part of our school improvement plan.
So the principal, Laura Taylor, started this club, mm-hmm. this committee.
Yep.
And are you the faculty advisor?
I'm the co-chair. So it's not co-chair. Actually a club.
It's a committee.
It's a committee.
Okay.
It's we don't think of ourselves as an extracurricular thing, but rather as a committee through which we improve what we do at our school, student learning.
Okay. And besides having one teacher here who's working with this committee, we have two students, Ellis Woodland, who is a senior. Welcome, Ellis. Good to have you here.
Thanks.
And how long have you been involved in this committee?
I've been here for 2 years, I guess.
2 years, okay. And we also have another student, Shaniqua Durgan. Welcome, Shaniqua.
Hi.
And you're a sophomore.
I am.
How did you hear about this committee?
Well, I was a new student at Urbana my freshman year, and I was really, like, open to everything at Urbana.
Uh-huh.
So I went to a lot of clubs, but this one, like, really got caught me, so
uh-huh.
I really like it, yeah.
Where did you come from?
Rantoul. Yeah.
Had you been in that school system very long?
Mm-hmm, like all my life.
Okay. And when you came to Urbana a year ago, what were some of the changes, the differences that you noticed?
Well, Urbana's really that diverse,
uh-huh.
like way more diverse than Rantoul was.
In terms of race?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I guess you guys have a campus here, so there's way more races here.
And there are a lot of people from different countries probably
mm-hmm.
who come to Urbana.
I really like that.
Right. And what about you, Alice? Did you grow up in Champaign-Urbana?
No, I lived in Chicago.
Oh. When did you come down to this littler town?
Oh, my second semester of my freshman year.
Okay. And what size of school had you been in Chicago? Pretty
like,
big?
Yeah, it was pretty big. My high school was, at least.
Uh-huh. Right. Ellen, let's talk a little bit about this committee.
Sure.
This show is interested in ethics and values. What are some of the issues that made the principal decide that this would be an important committee to have at Urbana High School?
Well, I can't get inside Dr. Taylor's head, but I know that something that's really important to us on the committee is thinking about whether our school is going to be participating in the reinforcement of the social order that privileges some and disadvantages others somewhat arbitrarily, but not really arbitrarily. I mean, we know the history of this country and what we've inherited and, you know, what we're working with, the social systems of power that we're working with. Whether or not we as a school want to reinforce those systems or resist them or transform them and become a place of true hope for all of our students, our diverse students, as Shaniqua said.
And what is the diversity at Urbana High School in terms of people whose first language is English, for example, or people of different different racial and ethnic groups? Do you have any sense of that?
Oh, gosh. Off the top of my head, I don't know the numbers.
Uh-huh.
I know that we do have an increasing number of students who speak whose first language is a language other than English. We have – I don't – yeah, honestly, I don't know the numbers exactly, but it's a really, really good mix in terms of race, class, language, country of origin. It's
– Oh. And how big is this committee?
Oh, gosh. The committee goes, I would say there's typically between 15 and 30 people present.
Wow, large.
But in terms of participation, if we count participation as attendance at a meeting or attendance at a volunteer event, I would go closer to 70 or 80
wow.
in terms of how many people would participate over the course of a school year.
Uh-huh.
And it ebbs and flows with you know, final exams and midterms and the school play and all kinds of factors.
The prom, yeah.
Mm-hmm, right.
Now, what are the criteria to get on the committee? What does it take to get on it? Are there volunteers? Do people just get on it if they want to?
Everybody is welcome. We meet on the third Wednesday of every month at 3:25 in the school library. Any student is welcome to come, any faculty member, any community member. We have people from the university who come by.
Really?
Parents, professors who are interested in what we've done, also university student activists who come and are interested in what we're doing and mentoring our students into future growing college student leaders. So,
let me ask you, Shaniqua, as a sophomore, here you are at this big committee, and there are university professors there and college students. Does that intimidate you, or do you speak up anyway?
Yeah, not at all. I'm not intimidated whatsoever. Like, I mean, I was there before they were, and I know what's going on just as well as they do. Okay. And I speak up.
Uh-huh.
Yes, she does.
And you have your own experience to share, right?
Okay. Most of the time, yeah.
Uh-huh. Tell me about some of the events that this committee has organized over the times you have been involved with it. Ellen, let's start with some of the things that stand out in your mind.
Well, not an event, but a project that we did that was very dear to my heart. And actually, Ellis can talk a little bit about this as well, is a video that we made for the counselors at our school, the guidance counselors, to show all students before registration. And the video gives information about AP classes, advanced placement classes, and what we call AP prep classes for underclassmen to take. And what we had noticed, what students on the committee had brought up as a concern, was the disproportionately low number of students of color in our AP classes and our AP prep classes.
I see.
We talked a lot in the committee about how that happens, what factors outside of our control contribute to that.
Sure.
And what factors inside of our control contribute to that. And we talked about a number of different strategies that we could take to sort of alleviate what we saw, that problem that we saw. But ultimately what we came to was this informative video that all students at Urbana High School see before they register for classes. And we interviewed students, counselors, teachers, administrators about the benefits of taking advanced placement classes, about getting college credit before you get to college, and about how to get into those classes, what kind of procedures there would be to the register. And once we had all that footage done, then Ellis put together the video using iMovie software, which he's pretty talented with. So.
Wow. So Ellis, as a senior, had you ever made a video before?
Have I made one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I made one at UPTV. A lot of editing there.
Okay. And that's a community television program that's available on the cable channels,
yeah.
Right?
Channel 6.
Channel 6.
Yeah.
All right. And when you started working on this video, what were the challenges for you? What was hard to do?
It was hard to try to fit different clips into it, like a whole movie, because it was multiple people speaking. You got to like put it all together as one. So it was kind of hard.
So you had all these interviews and you had to somehow edit it in a way that it would flow together and make sense.
Yeah.
And to be, you know, at the attention span of somebody who just wants to register for their classes. So we had close to an hour of footage. We had to get it into 3 or 4 minutes.
Okay. So this is a short video. So that makes it even harder. Because you had a lot of editing to have to do.
Yeah, it's pretty hard. It's not easy.
Now, when did it get finished?
Ellis came in, and he won't say this because he's humble, but he came in during his lunch and his free period almost every day for about a month to get this done.
Wow. And when did it finally get all done?
I have no idea.
It was a couple years ago.
Okay.
We've shown that. That was, we did that my first year
teaching
there, which was 2008, 2009.
So it's been used for a while.
It has.
And have you seen any results? Have there been more of the students of color who, perhaps because of that, perhaps because of other encouragements at the school, have signed up for the prep courses for the AP classes,
right,
the classes themselves?
Yeah. I mean, I don't have the numbers in front of me. My perception would be yes. It's not the only way that we've tried to encourage more students in general and students of color, students from low-income backgrounds specifically, to take AP classes and AP prep classes. But I do know that we, our school, Urbana High School, received an honor from the College Board, and the College Board are the people who put out the AP testing for, now I don't have the exact wording in front of me, but it was for increased diversity in our AP classes, with a maintained performance level of students earning a 3, 4, or 5 on that test.
I see.
On those tests.
Yeah. Let me encourage listeners who have a question or a comment to join this conversation. This is a live program heard Sunday nights here on WILL AM and also 90.9 FM HD3 in Urbana, and also heard, of course, online at will.illinois.edu. Any listeners may call in with a comment or question. We're eager to have you join in. If you're in Champaign-Urbana area, 333-9455 is the phone number to use. If it's a long-distance call, punch in 1-800-222-9455, and that's a toll-free call. So 333-WILL, the call letters of the station. If it's local or long-distance, 1-800-222-9455. Ellen, I know you had a distinguished academic career at the University of Illinois, where you graduated just 4 or 5 years ago, or less than that maybe. But I know you were a James Scholar. You have your name on one of the bronze tablets there in the library that recognizes outstanding academic work over your 4 years. You were Phi Beta Kappa. You received leadership awards from University Y and the university as a whole. So you had a very successful career academically in college. Why did you choose teaching? What appealed to you about teaching in a high school?
I don't even know where to begin on the appeal. Really, I became a teacher out of my commitment to social justice, and that's why I decided to stay in Urbana after graduation. I did my student teaching, well, half of my student teaching at Urbana High School, and was so impressed with the level of leadership, the level of the leadership in Urbana High School's commitment to social justice, and seeing social justice as an integral part of improving our school, and it was just really, really appealing for me to stay here.
And where did that concern for social justice come from? Family, background, reading, mentors in your life, teachers?
I come from a really privileged background. I think that I really developed these principles in my classes at U of I. I have a brother, an older brother with disabilities, severe and profound disabilities, after he got meningitis as a baby.
Oh.
And so I grew up in a house where it was inconvenient to do the right thing, but you always had to do the right thing. So I spent many, many high school nights babysitting.
Sure.
It's not very fun to feed or change the diaper of your older brother, but you do it.
Yeah.
And so I had that, was sort of predisposed to do the right thing, even if it was a little bit inconvenient. But really, the framework for understanding justice and injustice I developed through my coursework at U of I. Definitely attributed to that.
What kind of courses did you take there?
I was an English major with a minor in secondary education.
And what an English, when you say you're an English major these days, what does that mean?
It can mean a lot of things. With the secondary education minor at U of I, it's pretty intensive. So for me, being an English major with a secondary ed minor meant taking a pretty strict course load that was preset for me. But the education courses at U of I and the curriculum and instruction department that I had to take were really, really grounded in principles of social justice. And so even though I didn't get to take as many elective courses in the areas that would have been interesting to me, I felt really enriched in the classes that were on my required course schedule.
And my sense is that from talking to English majors over the years at U of I and other universities, there's also a real, these days you get into philosophy, you get into political science, you get into just a whole wide range of issues that you deal with.
Right, absolutely. Well, because literacy and literature, it's sort of they're difficult things to define. You know, what's a text? What does it mean to be literate? What is literature? What is just text? What is the difference? Once you start asking those kinds of questions, you immediately have to go to, well, who gets to say and who's not at the table when those decisions are made? And right. So it does become very philosophical, very justice-oriented.
We're talking about the Social Justice Committee of Urbana High School with one of the co-coordinators of that committee, Alan Dahlke. Her name is spelled D-A-H-L-K-E. And with two students, a senior, Alice Woodland, W-O-O-D-L-A-N-D, and Shaniqua Durgan, D-U-R-G-A. And I spell it because I know I have some allergies going today and I'm not enunciating things as clearly as I should, perhaps. But we're happy to have these folks in the studio talking about some of the issues and activities that deal with ethics and values from these that this committee deals with. Shaniqua, do you come from any do your values as a young woman in high school, are they influenced at all by parents, by peers, by religious background? Where do they come from?
I would say my values come from just me because I'm totally different from my parents.
All right.
I am. Yeah. I just I don't know. I'm always in La La Land and just think a lot. And my values just come from me, I guess.
But you also are influenced by the culture. You hear music, you see television, you listen to the radio. How much does that affect you?
Well, I don't watch very much TV.
You don't?
I think it's stupid. But I do listen to a lot of music.
Okay.
Yeah, and good music. And I guess it teaches me a lot about what's going on in our society now.
Okay. Give me some examples of good music. What do you like?
I like Lupe Fiasco, Common. I like a lot of different stuff. Paramore. It's pretty diverse, I guess.
And where do you hear that music mainly?
Pandora.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And tell our listeners who may not be familiar with Pandora how that works.
Well, it's an internet radio thing, and you type in an artist that you like, and it gives you music that's pretty similar to that artist that you like.
And so it takes your tastes and then sort of says, all right, here's some more things that you'll probably like as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty awesome.
All right. And what about reading? Do you read much?
I don't read much. I'm not interested in reading very much.
And when you're forced to take classes and you have to read books, is that hard for you or easy?
It's really hard because I just space out a lot.
Do you? Hard to concentrate. Do you take notes? Does that help you or outline?
Yeah, notes they help me a lot.
Okay. Now, what classes are you taking right now as a sophomore in high school that force you to read?
AP Prep English.
Okay.
Yeah, World Studies English.
And you have a library at the school, so you can get resources there, and maybe the teacher would do the same thing Pandora does, says, well, if you like this book, you might also like this one.
Yeah, I'm constantly in the library, but I don't look at the books.
Okay. What about you, Ellis? You're a senior. Where do your values come from as you look back on your high school career? Who's influenced you? Parents, peers, religious leaders?
I'm influenced by a lot, where I'm from. I think it influenced me not to, want to go back to that place. My parents, my dad, he influenced me to be like him, farther-wise, because he take care of his kids, but other things you do influence me to do better. My mom influenced me to do better than her. When I watch TV and like music videos and all that, it influences me because it makes me want to have stuff they have, so I'll work better to get it. And that's about it. Dr. Taylor influenced me too. She yelled me every day. So
I was going to say, if Dr. Taylor didn't get a shout out there.
Now tell us about Dr. Taylor.
Well, I don't know the exact word, but she like helped me out in school. Sometimes she helped me out personally. She just always told me about my grades and education. She sometimes helped me with my family problems.
Uh-huh.
Like if I have problems at home, I can tell her anything. Uh-huh. She gave me advice about it, uh-huh. and I just do it.
Okay. And what about books in your life? Do you read much?
Not at all. I'm not a reader.
Not even comic books? Not even graphic novels?
No, I don't read. But I work on your book, though.
Oh, so, really?
Yeah, I was an editor at the yearbook this year. Huh. I helped put it together.
Oh.
So.
So when you have teachers who want you to read, how do they get you to read?
If I have to read, I do it. But I just find like a book that I'm into.
Uh-huh.
It's mostly like books about people's lives, like basketball and all that.
Okay, all right. People that interest you.
Yeah, that's about it.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about some of those issues in a high school today. It's very diverse. It's very different from the years when I'm a little older than you, but when I was in high school at Urbana High School, it was pretty monochromatic. I mean, everybody was, the vast majority of people were white. There were very few African Americans. There were very few Hispanics, very few folks from other countries, very few Asians. But there were different groups. There were people who kind of grouped together back in my high school years. But I'm celebrating my 50th reunion this summer for Urbana High School, so you can see how long ago that was. What are some of the social justice issues that you face? Shaniqua, let's start with you as a sophomore. What are some of the first things you noticed when you came to Urbana High School?
Well, once again, diversity, but...
But what difference does that make to you?
It made me feel more comfortable, I guess, because me being multiracial, it's kind of different. So, yeah, I felt more comfortable here. And, I mean, people like to think there's not cliques in school anymore, but there is.
There still are. Uh-huh.
But they're more open, I guess.
Okay.
It just, yeah.
So what clique are you in?
I'm not in a clique at all.
You've chosen not to
I'm one of the people that are friends with, like, everyone.
You try to be open to different people.
Yeah. Because, like, I'm a cheerleader, and those are the girls that everyone hates pretty much. Cause, yeah, but I'm friends with everyone, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't think people hated cheerleaders.
Well, they don't hate them, but they want to be them. Like, I don't know how to explain it. Like
a little jealousy?
I wouldn't say that. I'm pretty modest. I don't want to say that.
You wouldn't say that. No. Okay. All right. So how'd you get chosen to be a cheerleader?
Well, my friend talked me into trying out for it. I didn't really want to because in middle school, I tried out for everything and never made anything at all. But I tried out and I made it. Huh. Yeah.
So once you made it as a sophomore, how many sophomores are on the cheerleading squad?
Well, I was on JV this year,
right.
And there was a few this year, like seven, no, like maybe five. And me and one of my other sophomore friends, we were captains this year.
Okay.
So, yeah, it was a pretty good season.
And did you notice that other sophomores looked at you differently, treated you differently? After
oh, no.
You...
No. Mm-mm. It was really diverse this year. It was really, really diverse.
Okay. But just the fact that you were a cheerleader, you said, well, people hate cheerleaders.
They don't hate them, but, like, a lot of people talk crap about cheerleaders,
okay.
I guess.
All right.
But this year was really different because we had a cheerleading meeting recently.
Okay.
And a lot of the people that were talking about us were there. So it kind of made me realize that they talk about you, but they, like, want to be on the team with you, I guess.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Now, when you described yourself as multiracial, what does that mean?
More than one race.
Okay. And why does that make a difference?
Well, it's pretty different because, like, a lot of people, well, it's hard to be, like, around certain people when you're multiracial because they're one race and they can just, like, be themselves, I guess. And when you're multiracial, it's pretty hard because you're more than one race, so you really don't know which race to be sometimes, I guess.
And are there groups in high school these days that are sort of determined to just stay within their own race?
Well, yeah, but I try to change that a lot. I try to be friends with everyone, so it's pretty different, I guess.
Alice, what's your experience been in terms of race at Urbana High?
It's different here than in Chicago because it's not a lot of like diversity in schools in Chicago. It's like in one area, it's like a lot of black people, so it's just black people go to schools, and white people in the area, white people go to schools. So I like it here better, though, because I get to see and talk to different other races than in Chicago.
But as an African-American student, you were elected by other students to be the yearbook editor?
No, I was elected by the teacher.
The teacher selected you. Okay, that's interesting. Okay. How diverse are the teachers racially?
In Urbana?
Yeah, we'll ask Alan that.
Oh, gosh. I would say at Urbana High School, I can't speak for the whole district, the majority of teachers are white. There are quite a few staff members, faculty members of color, but I don't know the exact numbers, but I would say majority white, yeah.
Okay, yeah. All right. We're about halfway through our program today. We're talking with three people from Urbana High School, who are part of the Social Justice Committee there, teacher Alan Dahlke and Ellis Woodland, a senior, and Shaniqua Durgan, a sophomore. We'll be getting back to them in just a moment. My name is Steve Shoemaker. I'm the usual host for these Keeping the Faith programs. And let me let folks know what's coming up in the weeks ahead here on Keeping the Faith. And let me give the phone numbers again after this announcement. We're happy to have others call in with questions or comments about life in high school today, or the activities, the issues of social justice. 333-9455 is the number in Champaign-Urbana. Elsewhere, if it's long distance, 1-800-222-9455. Next week on Keeping the Faith, we do have a change. I'd announced earlier that it would be Mark Johnson, who's the executive director of the Fellowship of Reconciliation for the USA. He's had a conflict come up for a speaking engagement that he has, so we'll be scheduling him later, probably in June. And next week, I'm very happy to say that we have a wonderful program scheduled that I've not announced till today, but Bonnie Scott is a senior, a person just about to graduate from divinity school, from seminary, and she recently won a very prestigious national award. It's called the David H. C. Reed Preaching Scholar Award for students who are just graduating from Protestant seminaries throughout the U.S. It comes with a $20,000 award. And we'll be talking by phone with Bonnie Scott about that. She's a Methodist, and we'll be talking to her about what it's like to be in seminary these days and about winning that award. So that'll be May 22nd here on Keeping the Faith, Bonnie Scott. On May 29th, I'll be traveling, but Don Nolan will be sitting in for me, and we'll be interviewing Professor John Esposito from Georgetown University, where he's the head of the Center for Muslim-Christian Understanding. And Professor Esposito gave a very exciting lecture here at the University of Illinois a few weeks ago. And they'll be talking about the challenge of pluralism in the 21st century. So he's the author of a book on Islamophobia. And so that will be an interesting interview on May 29 here on Keeping the Faith. Let me say, too, a word of thanks again to the University YMCA that has sponsored this program over many years, provided support. Currently at the Y, there's a very interesting art exhibit by prisoners. So if you'd be interested in seeing that art exhibit, it's right on the main floor of the Y, which is, of course, handicap accessible. Now, thanks to the generosity of many folks, there's even an elevator to get you up and down the four floors of the University Y. That's on the corner of Chalmers and Wright Street in Champaign, right across from Lincoln Hall. Also at the Y this week, they're collecting for something called Dump and Run. So anytime between 9 and 4, this Monday through Friday, you may take all kinds of items to the Y, and they'll store them over the summer in huge semi-trailers, and they have a great sale at the Stock Pavilion next fall for students and others to get things at a real bargain for their apartments or dormitory rooms. And people in the community, of course, look forward to those dates to find some real bargains. So if you have household items, if you have cookware, silverware, dishes, clothing, books, CDs, movies, anything that you want to get rid of that's still good, do donate it to the Y. You can get a tax deduction for that, and the Y makes a little money when they have their sale in the fall, and people get things at a real bargain. So this is the week for collecting. Last week and this week, Thursday night, they're open till 7. So from 9 to 4 every day, but Thursday, they're open till 7. Take things by the University Y. If you have questions, 337-1500 will get you answers. Well, let's get back to our guest for today. We're talking about the Social Justice Committee of Urbana High School. What other projects has this committee done? Ellen?
Lots of things. Last year, we worked with ECISA, the East Central Illinois Safe Schools Alliance. It's a mouthful. To coordinate a panel of speakers at Parkland on LGBT students and their rights to safety in school, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender students and their allies. And that was a really successful event. The Chris Cook, the state superintendent, was there and spoke to open it up. And there were students on the panel, former students, administrators, an attorney speaking out about the rights of students, of all students, to be safe in schools. What else have we done?
Before you go into other projects, I see we have a caller waiting. Okay. Let's go to that call from line number one. Yes, you're on Keeping the Faith.
Yes, good afternoon. This is Mrs. Tuttle. I think some of the people on your panel might know who I am. I just wanted to emphasize that I've been a substitute in the building. I'm in my seventh year now. And I've seen a remarkable change in our student body and the way they conduct themselves with each other in the classrooms and in the hallways. And I think one of the projects that I would like Ms. Dahlke to talk about is the use of language and words, like, you know, getting rid of the R word and other kind of words. Was that part of your committee? And I just want to commend the whole school on really being a place for social justice, because it's a wonderful place to go to every day. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment. Appreciate it.
The very well-loved Miss Tuttle.
I didn't think anybody liked substitute teachers. I thought they took advantage of them.
You haven't met Miss Tuttle. I can't believe that we neglected to mention Think Before You Speak. Shaniqua, why don't you talk about that?
Think Before You Speak. What's that, Shaniqua?
Well, I'm not really sure because I wasn't here when they made the video.
Oh, sorry. Put you on blast.
But, I watched it, and it's like they're trying to make you, like, think before you speak. Because I guess, the R word was pretty prevalent, but, like, back then when they made the video, it still is. And no homo, that's not really prevalent anymore, but I guess it was. They're trying to, like, promote that to not be said anymore. And, like, yeah.
Right. I'll help you out. So the issue was when we first started the committee, the second year of the committee, my first year, so it feels like we started being very self-centered there. My first year on the committee, the way that we started the year was by sitting around and talking about, in an ideal world, what would we like to see changed at Urbana High School in terms of justice, social justice. And something that kept coming up was discriminatory language and how that sort of interrupted the learning environment in really negative, toxic ways. And so the students and teachers came together and created a video that's about 10 minutes long that we called Think Before You Speak. And the video addresses discriminatory language, but more specifically anti-gay, homophobic language, the R word, which is the word retarded instead of talking about people with disabilities, the N word. And the video kind of synthesizes both interviews from people in our school community, teachers, students, deans, our superintendent, as well as YouTube videos that are really engaging. We have the Black Eyed Peas song, Where's the Love, at the beginning and at the end of the video. And we actually had to, in the process of getting copyright, the Black Eyed Peas had to watch our video and approve it. And so we got really positive feedback from them, which is, you know, not the point of the video, but kind of exciting. Sure. If anybody wanted to see that video, it is on our school website. We show it every year to the incoming first-year students, as well as to the faculty. And we got T-shirts printed that say, Think Before You Speak on them, which are very, very popular with students and teachers and parents. And you get a lot of really positive feedback in the community when we wear those.
What is the Urbana High School? We're talking about Urbana, Illinois, because there are a lot of Urbanas. And this program is heard in a couple states. But Urbana, Illinois High School, what's the website?
The website is USD116, as in Urbana School District, 116.org/UHS. And on the homepage, there's a link to the Social Justice Committee video, Think Before You Speak.
Let me repeat that. That's USD, as in David, 116.org, /UHS, and then look for Think Before You Speak.
Right. We're actually in the process of two wonderful teachers have taken on leading a revision of the Think Before You Speak video because it's getting dated. It's only 3 years old, but the turnover of students is so rapid in the high school that it's not as effective if the students in the video are no longer students at the school. It needs to be, you know, peers talking to peers. And so
and language changes
and
very
language
fast
changes, right.
At a some high of the, school level.
Yeah, some
very
of the
quickly.
Right, exactly.
Right. Excuse me. We're talking about social justice issues, and we're talking about some of the programs that you have. You mentioned this one. What other ones have you come up with over these 3 years of this committee's work?
Another thing that we've done is we organized, for a couple of years, we tried to organize phone trees to call home the parents of students for whom English is not their first language, calling home in the first language to set up parent-teacher conferences. We talked about how important family involvement is at school and how the way that our school is set up would marginalize people who didn't speak English because we have translators available at the conferences. But in order to get a conference, you need to call in and make an appointment.
Sure.
And the person on the end of the phone making appointments speaks English only. And so in an effort to alleviate that injustice to those families, we started these phone trees to get more parents involved. We also, Dr. Taylor secured funds to get a lot of the signs in our building put up in Spanish to accommodate our growing Spanish-speaking population, as well as we worked with Lucia Maldonado, our Hispanic Family Outreach Coordinator, to develop a Spanish language college night. So we had put together, our counselors do a really good college night every year in English, and so we decided to work with Lucia and with La Casa at the university to put together a Spanish language college night. And that was last year. This year, Lucia worked to bring that college night into the school day so that as many students as possible would get that really good information about what the next step is for them, whether they're a freshman or a senior.
Now, it sounds like there are a lot of people who are supportive of the students who are in high school these days. And let's talk with you a little bit, Ellis, about that. And you're a senior now. You've been at the school for several years. Who are some of the people who've come into the school that you've been able to talk with, maybe who've been mentors for you or tutors for you or advisors for you? Have there been any people like that from the university, from the community, from?
The biggest is Dr. Taylor.
Sure.
But I pretty much can talk to any teacher about anything, thanks to Dr. Taylor.
Did you ever have a mentor?
Dr. Taylor.
Yeah, okay. What about a tutor beyond Dr. Taylor?
Nah, she's not my tutor.
Yeah.
I actually don't have a personal tutor. It's like tutors that be in a library, like if you need help.
Oh, there are. Okay.
I think on Thursdays, I think.
All right. What about you, Shaniqua? Have you had any of those kind of people from outside the school come in as volunteers, perhaps, to work with you or talk with you?
No.
You have not?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
We do have, we benefit from the mentorship program, CU one-to-one. But in terms of tutoring, we get, being in the university town, we're very fortunate to have many, many university students that come to tutor either during study hall or study support periods. But rarely do those tutors get matched up one-on-one with the student.
I see.
Rather, they would be in the library available.
Okay. Available for anybody.
So, yeah.
Uh-huh. And, of course, you and I both know about the university YMCA program called Vis-a-Vis. Tell the listeners about that who may not know about it.
So Vis-a-Vis is a college student-run program out of the university YMCA that sends university tutors into local schools, local K through 12 schools.
And there may be 300 or 400 of those who would do it over the course of a school year.
Yeah, I don't know the numbers anymore, but when I was involved, there were, you know, a couple hundred a semester, so.
And those are students who would give, what, 2 hours a week, two different visits to a school?
Typically, that's what those students would do. They would sign up for a day or maybe 2 days and then take the bus out into the community, off campus, and go into the schools.
Uh-huh. Let's talk a little bit about what your hopes are for the committee, what your plans are. Of course, you're graduating, Ellis, so you're moving on to Parkland College. Is that what you told me earlier?
Yes.
Parkland. Do you know what you're going to study there?
I think I'm just going to go there to do all the classes you're supposed to take, and then probably about next year, I'll probably do media.
Uh-huh. Focus on media eventually.
Yeah.
Okay. And Shaniqua, do you have any long-term goals after high school? I know it's early for you. You're just a sophomore.
Yeah, I'm really totally confused about what I want to be.
a lot of options.
Well, yeah.
Okay.
But I do like dental hygiene a lot.
Okay.
So, yeah.
All right. I just had that work done this week, and I was glad they were gentle. What about plans for the future, Ellen, as a co-coordinator for this group? How did those plans arrive? How do they arise? Do students come up with them? Do you and your co-coordinators make suggestions?
It's a very organic process, our future plans. They definitely come from students. There's always a portion of every meeting where we ask students, is there anything else that we need to be talking about? And typically there is.
Huh.
And so some projects or campaigns often come out of those. One thing that we've kind of had cooking or thinking about over the past year is the idea of a home visit program where we as teachers on the committee could act on our belief that there's this theory, and I can't remember the name of the scholar who put this forth, which is embarrassing, but that families should be treated as funds of knowledge about their student, about their child, about their learner. And so the idea would be that we could visit our students in their territory to learn from the family how we can better teach the child. it's something that's very, we haven't worked out any of the details. It's something that we've talked about as a committee. We read some articles related to that and have been thinking about how we might bring that in, adapt it from the schools that we're reading about that have done it so it fits Urbana.
Now, this Urbana Social Justice Committee doesn't have a budget. Do you have any money to work with to make a video or things like that? How does that?
There is some money. It's a school improvement committee, so there's building budget that gets allocated to us. Honestly, I don't have much to do with the money end of it, but a video doesn't really cost money. It just takes a lot of time. So I know that tomorrow morning at 7:15, teachers and students are getting get together to start talking about that revision of the Think Before You Speak video that I mentioned earlier. So it doesn't cost anything, but it doesn't cost any money, but it does cost a lot of time.
You mentioned that this committee and its action are open to the public, and there are local people who hear this show, of course, on WILL.
Right.
Tell them again what time it meets and where.
We meet every third Wednesday of the month, so this coming Wednesday we'll be meeting at 3:25 in the library at Urbana High School.
Where do people park?
You could park in the parking lot off of Iowa Street, come in the door with a number 1 over it.
Okay. And I know schools have to be careful about security. What will people expect who might be curious and show up?
Right. You would come in and there is a hall supervisor right at that door, that number 1 door. You would sign in with them, go up to the main office and sign in again, register your car with the license plate, and then you get a name tag, and it's a big orange name tag that you can walk the halls with. Otherwise, you can't walk the halls.
So visitors are easily recognizable.
Very recognizable, sure. Yes.
And Ellis, you came from the Chicago public school system before coming to Urbana. What was security like there?
It's metal detectors to enter the high school, and you had to have a school ID to enter high school as well.
And were there armed security guards throughout the high school?
No, it was just regular security guards just in the high school.
Okay. And what's the situation in Urbana? You don't have the metal detectors?
No, or you don't have to get checked in with an ID.
Okay. So it's a little bit more relaxed.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
When I signed up to be a mentor for a young student in grade school, I know that we had to be fingerprinted, we had to have our background checked. They're very careful about people who are going to be working with
right.
kids. And I've done that now 3 years, and my student that I'm a mentor for is now in middle school in Urbana. And I've been impressed with the way order is kept, and there's discipline, and people feel safe there, but it doesn't seem too militaristic or it doesn't seem too heavy-handed, which I think is good. Shaniqua, this is I forget how it works. You have a middle school, so you've been in high school 2 years now?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you remember what it was like when you first came to high school, how it felt, how it was different from middle school?
Oh, I wasn't overwhelmed very much. It's really like, people say that it's like scary, but it wasn't really scary. I came really outgoing, so I made a lot of friends there.
Did you have older brothers or sisters who'd been in high school here?
Nope, I'm the oldest.
So you're the oldest.
Yeah.
How many younger siblings do you have?
I have 3 brothers and a sister.
Okay.
And they're all under 4, so.
I see. A big gap, all right. We're talking about the future and what some of the hopes were. And Ellen, you suggested a few things. What about you, Ellis, as a senior? What do you wish will happen after you leave?
Well, I wish I'd be successful in anything I do.
And what about the committee? What do you hope they'll work on after you leave it?
Well, hopefully they still, like, let me help a little bit.
Oh, okay.
And I just try to make meetings if I could.
And since you're going to be at Parkland here in the Champaign-Urbana area, you could volunteer still as a college student.
Yeah.
Okay. Very good. What would people of my age be surprised about at high school today? You've had parents who probably have asked you what it's like. What have surprised your parents when you've talked to them? Are sports still important to high school people? Does that matter much to people?
Yeah, I think sports do matter.
Okay.
I don't think it's as big as.
What about student government? People electing other students to represent them?
We still do that. I think it's Student Senate does that. Right.
Is there a high school newspaper in Urbana still?
Yes, the Echo.
The Echo?
Right, but our newspaper, the last issue was in print, but our newspaper is online. So that would be different.
Online. That'd be a difference. Yep. Okay. What electronic devices are you allowed to take into school?
None.
None. No cell phones?
Unless you want a Saturday school, no.
So there is, do they still call it detention?
No. We have detention.
You do?
Yes. But Saturday school is a different thing.
What's Saturday school? Shaniqua?
You have to get up really early and go sit in the cafeteria for some hours. You can't go to sleep or you get kicked out.
So this is a punishment for some misbehavior.
Yeah, but it's punishment.
Well, now it's the automatic punishment for having cell phone or iPod.
I see. Okay.
Or DRA.
Mm-hmm. What's that?
It's like in-school suspension.
Okay. So. Mm-hmm. All right. At the middle school where I work, I learned that instead of calling it in-school detention, they call it the refocus room. I want you to refocus on what's important and what you need to do.
A little bit more positive, right.
Yeah, that's the tip. What's it like as a teacher to keep order in a very diverse classroom with people from many different countries, nationalities, and races?
Well, it was something I definitely had to learn. I come from Chicago, like Ellison, as you said, the segregated neighborhoods make it so that it's rare to have experience with diversity like right. at Urbana. So I did have to learn, but over the last 3 years, I think my students have taught me a lot about how to, as you said, maintain order and really think about myself as a leader in the classroom. We on one of the other committees in the school, we talk about the difference between talking about classroom management versus classroom leadership.
Okay.
And the teacher leadership lends itself to a more positive, more positive feelings, I guess, like the difference between refocus and in school suspension. But it also helps us to start thinking about how students can act as leaders in the classroom too. And I've found that if I approach my students with that kind of mindset, that they have the capacity for leadership, that they are at their core a kind being, even if they're not very happy at the moment, you start to create this community of respect and the community that values learning. And if you keep that in mind, you don't really have much disorder at all.
How large are your classes that you teach?
They range. My largest class is 31. My smallest class is 8. So it really depends on what it is that I'm teaching, the hour of the day and the kids' schedules and how that all gets worked out.
How many classes a day do you teach?
5. So I have this
five
year.
5 different classes?
No, not 5 different classes. 3 different classes, but they're all sophomore classes. And as I say that, I don't want you to think that I have 3 different tracked classes. That's not really the case. I do teach an AP prep class, which, as I said, is a little bit of test preparation.
Sure.
At the sophomore level for the test that students would take, the AP English test that students would take senior year. But then I have a college prep world studies English class. About 70% of our student body takes college prep level coursework. So that's a really mixed group. It's great. And then we have something called Academic Learning Support, ALS, that is for students who need a little bit of extra time to meet the objectives in their English and math classes. So it's not an extra English class as much as it's an extension of the English class, and I teach that twice a day.
How many hours a day are you in school as a teacher?
It depends on the day and the meetings that are on. Typically get there about 7:15, 7:30, and leave around 5:30.
And you have some preparation you have to do outside of class, of course.
Yes, absolutely. As Shaniqua was talking about Pandora earlier, it reminded me of the what I try to do in my classroom, which is to differentiate based on students, not just their interests like Pandora does, but lots of things like their learning profile and their interest, their readiness. I already said their interest. And so thinking about what happens in the classroom as a little bit more dynamic than just here's the chapter, answer the questions, does require a little bit of prep work, but it's worth it because there's more learning that happens that way. I do see that, and it also helps with maintaining order, as we talked about before.
We're just down to our last couple minutes, but we've not talked about gender issues in high school, and we have a male and a female student here. Shaniqua, what's it like being female in high school these days?
I feel like you have to stand up a lot sometimes because guys always think they're, like, masculine and they just know everything. But, yeah, I think I'm pretty outspoken, so it's pretty easy going for me.
Okay. What about for you, Ellis? What's it like to be male in a high school today?
How is it? I have no idea. It's pretty easy for me, kind of, but I can't speak for everybody else.
Okay. What are the kinds of issues that have been discussed over your first 3 years around gender as a teacher, Alan?
Lots of them. Actually, this year I was a faculty advisor with another teacher for a feminist club that some students started. And that was a really fun group to be a part of because it was really diverse in terms of gender, in terms of race, class, age. We had, first-year students up to seniors, and we had really, really good discussions about gender roles and the pressures to conform to them or not, and the shifts that students saw. We talked a lot about the transition from middle school to high school, which seemed to gender and sexuality issues seemed to be really, really high priority at that time. We talked a lot about how sexism works at the high school to hurt both the female students and the male students. So it was really, really smart kids, fun group.
We're going to have to stop there. I want to thank our three guests who've been in studio with us from Urbana High School Social Justice Committee, teacher Ellen Dahlke, D-A-H-L-K-E, Ellis Woodland, and Shaniqua Durgan, a senior and a sophomore. My name is Steve Shoemaker. I'm the usual host for these Keeping the Faith programs. Let me remind listeners that if you have household items in your garage or basement or attic that you'd like to get rid of, this is a good week to do that by donating them in Champaign-Urbana to the University YMCA Dump and Run Collection, 9 to 4 this Monday through Friday, Thursday night open till 7 for collection. The Y is at 1001 South Wright Street in Champaign. If you have questions, call them at 337-1500. Coming up next week on Keeping the Faith, my guest will be by phone, a young woman, Bonnie Scott, who is a senior in Divinity School who just won a $20,000 award for preaching and for scholarship. We'll be talking with her about her experience as a very young Protestant minister. Thank you for listening to Keeping the Faith.
You've been listening to Keeping the Faith, the production of WILL AM 580. The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of the participants.
Hi, I'm Jim Fleming, host of To the Best of Our Knowledge from PRI. Looking for something to talk about at your next party or around the water cooler on Monday morning? Check in on To the Best of Our Knowledge each week. Science and religion, rethinking animal intelligence, maybe how memory works. Fascinating discussion on To the Best of Our Knowledge from PRI, Public Radio International.
Sunday evening from 7 to 9 on AM 580.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from these business partners: Swire's Land and Management Company, Danville; EAG Company Incorporated, Fairmont; Colonial Pantry, Champaign; and United Council Staff Union of Illinois, Springfield. These business partners join the Friends of WILL in making great programs possible. Thank you.
This is Illinois Public Media, WILL.